Welcome to Follow the Sound. I am your host, Brian Kroc. This week, we have a concert review. And I have brought in some friends of mine to help me out with this concert review because apparently half the office here at Lineup Media actually went to the Guns N' Roses show that was this last week. And helping me with the concert review is John Okabengian.
How are you, buddy?
Who is heard on such shows as Cowboys Podcast, Armenia Proud, and a thousand others, I swear. Also, we've got Tony Hubert.
I'm like Mr. Haney here.
Yeah.
Tony Hubert.
How are you, Brian?
I am doing fantastic. Tony is heard on This Day in History. I talk about your podcast quite a bit on my own This Week in Music History.
Very good. Keep talking about it.
Good. And, of course, I've got my good friend Corey Smith.
Hey, hey, hey.
Corey here is the host of the Three Horsemen podcast. And he bounces around to other shows randomly, too. But everybody here, we've all got our other jobs that we do, but we do all of our own individual shows as well. So, guys, Guns N' Roses. Last week.
Wow.
Killer show, right?
I couldn't get enough of it. I couldn't get enough of it.
Couldn't get enough of the 3 hours that they were on.
Yeah, see, they gave you 3.5 hours, which was wow.
What was really sad was I was the one getting tired standing up.
Uh-huh.
And you had Axl running loose from one end to the other.
John, the show wiped me out.
He probably had like oxygen in the back, though, you know, so he could like keep his energy.
Whatever
up.
It was. I mean, he was doing it, man.
Yes, yes. I would also like to point out that I don't know how many of you were there for the Deftones.
That's what I was going to ask you guys.
Deftones totally put on a really great show to kick off the night. Probably the Deftones wouldn't have been my first choice to open for Guns N' Roses, but then again, I mean, you know, I don't pick those things. But I think that that the Deftones actually did a really good job. So
I didn't even know there was anyone there.
We were in the beer line in the back.
Ah.
So we could hear it, but concentrated on beer.
There were some hardcore fans, though, that I saw who were there just for the Deftones, which was pretty funny.
Yeah, we caught a couple Deftones songs, but by the time we had gotten there, I want to say they opened with Passenger, Digital Bath, Knife Party. They might have done Be Quiet and Drive, Change in the House of Flies, something like that. But by the time we got there, they were playing some newer things that I didn't even know. So I know it was a good first half, and I think we kind of caught the bad second half.
Yeah, that's not possible.
The lesser known stuff,
yeah.
How long did they play? Maybe 30 minutes?
30 plus, yeah, at most. I mean, that's what it felt like to me.
It was quick.
It was very fast. It's not the fastest opener I've ever seen. But I saw one guy come out, did two songs, and that was it. That was the opener. So
can I ask you, Brian, why even have them? I mean, what was the point on even having open show for them?
I don't know. I guess you get some other giant acts out there like Paul McCartney. Paul McCartney never has an opener. But then again, U2 always has one opener at least.
I mean, if you plan on having a 3.5 hour show, and you've let the public know this is going to be a big time show.
Well, you know, the other thing is those bands sometimes pay the act to be on.
That is true.
Those shows, they only did two shows. They went from here. Deftones played here, and I think they played Minnesota next. So they just got those two shows in, maybe to warm up for more shows coming up. Maybe to get used to playing bigger venues. If they're going to go overseas, they're going to play those giant festivals and things like that.
Could have also been that they were having, maybe doing some other shows, just happen to have like an off week, and they're
exactly,
like, hey, do you want to play these two shows with Guns N' Roses? Yeah, sure, why not? Let's do it. But let's actually get on to Guns N' Roses. So what were some of your highlights?
You want to run down the set list?
I don't have it in front of me.
I have it in front of me, Brian, setlist.fm. For the St. Louis show.
Is that not the best website?
It's really cool.
Ah, shit.
Now, they did, the track total here? 31 songs. I've seen them three times now in the past year and a month. Yeah. It's the same basic show that they've been doing, but this was significantly added to. Same opener, It's So Easy, which I think is an interesting choice for an opener. They go right into Brownstone second, though. So the first two, I mean, I wouldn't say It's So Easy as a cannon, you know, shot out right away.
Mm-hmm.
But they go into Brownstone, and then they go into Chinese Democracy. And that's been the same over the course of the last year. And a lot of people have been critical of the songs from Chinese Democracy. I thought they fit well into the show. But for me, like, all of that is just a prelude and a warm-up, as good as Brownstone is, to slash just riffing at the beginning of Welcome to the Jungle to let the audience know, it's go time now. Here we go. This is it. We've got the Kinks. The sound is, you know, all the adjustments should be made by now. And they're launching into the meat of it. And, I mean, when they take off, God bless, does that band take off.
Okay, so this brings up what I wanted to ask you guys about. And I still say this is the case. These first three songs, if you watch Axl, and you can pull stuff up on YouTube if you need to, five monitors with lyrics,
mm-hmm.
and I'm telling you, he either had a brain fart or the mic or the sound in his ear wasn't coming in correctly, because he looked like he was running to each monitor at each stage, looking down and reading the songs for Easy, Brownstone, and Democracy.
That is possible. I wasn't actually paying attention most of the time to what Axl was doing, or at least like where his head was. I was mainly watching his movements and stuff, because I've seen him on footage before, obviously, because he hasn't played in St. Louis in a very long time. And so it was just fascinating to me to see kind of how he dances around the stage, because nobody else moves like him. Like, I've never seen anybody else even remotely come close to.
And that's a big stage.
Yes, that was a huge stage, and he was running around all over the place. So.
And you've been recently to Kansas City, right, Tony? When was the last time you saw him?
I saw them summer of 16 in Kansas City and Orlando, June and July.
What comparison?
Axl's in better shape.
Oh, really?
Yeah, physically. And also, he was coming off a week layoff, and where they'd only done one show in the previous 2 weeks, and that was the Apollo show up at the Apollo Theater in Harlem.
Right.
They had done a show for Sirius Radio. And what I remember, and Jono, I think you probably remember this as well, Jono and I were at the same GNR concert way back in like 1992. They used to never do back-to-back shows because Axl's voice couldn't take it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I knew coming in with a week off and only one show in the last 2 weeks that we were going to be getting him really fresh.
Right, right. Can we back this up a little bit more?
Go ahead.
I like to just say, I don't think St. Louis, you know, the way we set it up, the beer tents, it was horrible. There were my friends, included Corey and our man here. We just did not. Our guys were waiting 3-4 songs to get beer. Tony said he had to wait 3 songs. Where he says, "Forget it, I'm going back to my seat here." I mean, it wasn't handled right.
It's the venue.
It wasn't handled right on there, and it's got nothing to do with GNR. The parking is
atrocious.
Horrible. I didn't have to deal with that because I literally walked from my apartment.
Well, good for you.
Well, we don't all have an apartment right there.
I'm just saying. You could have parked in the same parking lot that I'm at. It would have cost you $5 and you could have walked. But
right.
No, Jono's right. I don't know if this was like their trial by fire. How did you not know that 35,000 people in St. Louis were going to drink?
Right.
They ran out of cups. Then I got to another line, they were out of beer. Then I got to another line, and they couldn't take credit cards because the credit card machine was broke.
It was bad.
I'm like, how do
this
you?
This is the kind of stuff that should not happen.
It shouldn't. And I got to tell you, I was nervous because of this. All these things, because I know Brian's sitting here thinking, what the hell does this have to do with the music or the concert?
Nah.
It all formulates together.
It does. Because I told the guys I was with, Jono, I said, I get zero vibe from being in this building right now.
I'll give you that.
This is 30 minutes before the show. I said, I have zero vibe. The audience is filtering in. You know, it is filling up. It's not a complete sellout. You know, there's empty pockets. But still, you know, it's going to be nearly 40,000 people. It's a big crowd. I'm getting no atmosphere. Had it not been for GNR, there would have been no atmosphere. They made the atmosphere.
That is true. That is where I was going with this. It was a zombie group there, 35, 36,000. And I tell you what, Axel and the boys just, I mean, they just blew it up.
They exploded onto it. They made the atmosphere.
They made the atmosphere.
Because here's a couple things. It was work to get a beer. Also, and I mean, let's face it, I didn't smell any pot the whole night.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Well, they hit us in the corner.
I didn't smell
Good
any.
Good Lord.
I didn't. I'm in the third damn row. I'm expecting to get a contact high. I got nothing.
Well, that's also where all the cops were and stuff, too, was up front.
So was maybe, everybody on
maybe
edge?
People, oh, maybe I the think, people yeah. further back were smoking it. But
well, I hope somebody
me.
Was.
Trust me. It was very prevalent. Yeah. So.
Good. Good.
But, yeah. So I just let's get back to the actual, like, music stuff here. So you said it that Axel and them had a week off beforehand,
yeah.
Which is exactly why I think that his voice sounded really, really good. And I mean, I have a trained ear for this kind of stuff. I mean, he was pretty much spot on as far as pitch goes the entire night, which was impressive in and of itself. And he was able to really utilize his dynamics and, you know, go to the higher octaves and down again. And I know he's always been famous for having a wide range of his vocal abilities.
Oh, yeah.
And, but I was thoroughly impressed because I was thinking before going in there, I was like, man, I've heard some footage of him when he was doing some stuff, and it just sounded really, really bad.
But Brian,
did not happen that night.
You asked me beforehand. My friends asked me before. They said, okay, how is he really? How is he? I said, first of all, what you got to know about this show is it's a guitar player show.
That is true.
If you love guitars.
You got that right.
And if you play guitar, this Guns N' Roses show is for you. This is a guitar player show.
Now, speaking of that.
Having said that, Axel, as I said last year, look, he's in his 50s.
That's true.
Every artist who is getting older has to pick their spots.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought he picked them really well. And sometimes he's going to sort of phrase through a verse or talk it through. But like Jono was just saying, he's running around like crazy. He's bringing the energy. And I can't remember many artists who run into a verse. Like Mick Jagger does something. He sings. Then he runs to the next point. Mm-hmm. Axel runs and then starts singing as he's running.
Right.
And that takes a hell of amount of athleticism and some type of aerobic ability there to continually do that for 3 hours.
Yep.
Right.
All right. Now to the guitars.
Go ahead.
All right. So it's like I've now seen Slash play in person.
Unreal.
Incredibly talented guitar player, and I've been saying that for years and years, because even though I wasn't like a huge GNR fan back in the day, I was a fan of Slash just because everything I hear about the dude is super cool. Like, he seems to be a pretty chill guy and he's just super talented. That being said, out of nowhere, the other guitar player, Richard Fortus, just starts busting out stuff too, and that dude, in my opinion, almost stole the show.
Agreed.
And no, he gained a lot of fans that night.
I didn't see that.
I totally saw it.
Not steal the show, but he definitely let his presence be known.
Yes, right. Yes. Well, I'll say that. I don't see a steal the show sentence in there, though.
Well, see, and the other thing about him is
I said almost.
Yeah, it's.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
I expected
either.
That guy to be more background.
I tried to stay away.
Yeah, I tried to stay away from YouTube, so I didn't see anything. I wanted to go in fresh, and he knocked it out of the park.
Killed it.
I thought Duffy looked good too, man. I mean.
Oh, and his backing vocals are freaking ridiculous.
Yeah, the rest of the band, the drummer, the keyboard player, awesome. And then the other keyboard player.
She's a full member.
Okay, yeah, I'm just saying, like, either way, like, they had some talented singers on stage besides just Axl, you know, doing the lead. Just the people doing all the backing vocals and stuff were great as well.
Tremendous.
I got to tell you guys something. When Slash played Godfather.
Oh, yes.
My hair stood up on my arm.
I love that song in general, and just to hear him do it was amazing.
And mind you, this was their intermission. This was the band taking a towel and wiping their face while Slash, he didn't get anything. This was him playing Godfather, and this was the 3-hour, or this was their 3-hour break, you might say.
Yeah.
And my God, man, that was beautiful.
John, it's such a cool moment because, you know, he had done a, it's not a medley of Chuck Berry, but he was doing a Johnny B. Good, you know, riff as he led into that. And, you know, that segment of the show, Jono, where it's, you know, they come out of a long number. Where are we at here? Yeah, they do Coma. Axl does a band intro. Slash goes into a solo, goes into the Godfather theme, the, you know, Nino Rota, Speak Softly Love, which I never knew was the name of the Godfather
theme. I didn't either.
I just called it the Godfather theme.
Yeah.
But man, Jono, it is so, you know, it, from my recollection of the two shows I saw in 16 versus this one, he's extended the solo quite a bit and put a little bit more on it.
Yeah.
And his guitar, I mean, just, you know, when you're watching that show and you see how much he bends those strings. And
even something like when he was doing the really fast notes on the guitar for the Godfather theme, that's hard to do and hard to maintain.
I wouldn't know. I can't play guitar.
I know a lot of guitar players who would probably use like some type of a delay or like a reverb thing or something to make that effect happen like that. And he didn't. I saw his hand moving, and that sucker was just flying on that string. I mean, that's an impressive thing. I've only seen like 3 other guitar players actually do that kind of stuff before. And so, I mean, this just puts him in good company.
Can I get your opinion on this? All of us here on the panel. Was there a little bit more emphasis on this show, being in St. Louis, a little bit more of a gusto, a little bit more of a, I got to give them a little bit more to the fans because of what went down ages ago?
I think so.
I vote yes.
I thought so as well. I thought they had a lot of creative things they could have chosen to do,
mm-hmm.
but didn't. There was speculation all week leading up to the show.
Yeah.
Would they open with Rocket Queen, which is the song they were in the middle of when Axl leaves the stage in the summer of 91 and the riot mm-hmm. begins? Would they walk out and address it in some fashion? Never really addressed it head on, kind of talked around it a little bit.
Yeah, talked around it.
You know, so would they show video of the riot? You know,
why don't they?
Well, I don't know, because there's a lot of lawyers I'd like to talk to, because I have a feeling that people take all the creative, because I personally would open up the show with the 911 call from, if they still have it, from the amphitheater to the Maryland Heights Police Department of St. Louis County. That's what I would open the show with. 911. Yeah, and whatever the.
Oh, my God.
I would open with that, and then I would have walked out right into Rocket Queen. And I think the place is up for grabs.
Yeah, that
30 seconds into the show, I think the place is up for grabs. I can also hear a lawyer saying, play it straight. You guys are under a hell of a. The insurance. Well, first of all, the insurance on this thing, I'm sure, is huge. They've been very professional, you know, because you remember the days. You've been a couple times back in the day. At 9:30 at a GNR show in circa 91, 92, you'd be in a beer liner getting food, not even worried about the show starting. I think the night we saw them in Kansas City, Jono, 25 years ago, they didn't come on stage till 10:15.
Right.
They are walking out at 7:49, 7:50.
Right.
Oh.
Right. Right.
It's a different age.
Yeah. I tell you what, I felt that they had something proof. They wanted the fans to say, you know what, that now I can go home. Now I can go home and say I seen GNR and I'm happy.
Well, it's the first time we've seen heard Rocket Queen in its entirety in a St. Louis concert.
Yeah, did you go through the other songs? We made it to number four, which is Jungle.
So I think the set list is really interesting because, Corey, you were telling me you don't know all of them or the lyrics to all of them. I think Jono and I do know them all except for I don't think we know the new stuff from Chinese Democracy as well. I don't. No. I like a couple of the tunes. So Welcome to the Jungle, bam. Then they go into Double Talk and Jive, which I think is a good number. It's a good early number.
Mm-hmm.
Then they do Better, not one that everyone knows. Then you start this hardcore swing, Estranged, Live and Let Die, Rocket Queen, You Could Be Mine. That's a four-punch combination right there, fellas.
I wonder how they came up with the list, though.
I do, too, because and how you stay kind of married to the same order, you know, from show to show. I wonder as well.
Does that have anything to do with lighting?
Yeah.
Yeah, but most of that's programmable, so you can change up now. I don't know. I mean, they certainly they want to take it up and up and up. And then after You Could Be Mine, they turn it over to Duff for a cover of a Misfits song or some type of cover.
Yeah.
This night it was a Misfits song that I didn't know called Attitude. I didn't know the song.
I loved Attitude. Attitude is one of my favorite songs. And Duff sings Dead Horse that they didn't play.
I like Dead Horse a lot.
And that's one of his major inputs, and they didn't have that one. But I thought Duff looked good.
Did you like the Streetside Records shirt?
Right, yeah.
That was a great call.
A plug on that, too.
That was a great call.
I'm also sure that sales of the Coral Court Motel shirt have gone through the roof.
Gone up a bit.
It did my heart good when Axel walked out after a T-shirt change in the Coral Court's motel shirt. Moderate rates, of course.
Moderate rates.
That was a great wink to St. Louis. That was wonderful.
Yeah.
And Fortis is wearing a Kennedy's on the on the landing shirt as well. was very good. So
it was great seeing those three.
You like that Misfits attitude. Then you get This I Love. Then Jono, you get one you had been waiting for all day. Matter of fact, you get two back to back. I think you were waiting for all day. Or two out of three. Civil War.
I just love that. I just love
when you hear
that whistle, to me, it just one thing though. Did you expect? I expected to hear, and this is the only bad thing. Not bad thing. The only negative thing I got about the concert. You got 36,000. They're eating at your palm.
Yeah.
Why not get them involved? I know Bono. If he's got that type of crowd, he'll get them involved in the songs. He'll get them to sing with them. I mean, he could have gotten so many. There's so many songs that the crowd wanted
to
sing along with him and just have the crowd sing, and it would have just brought down the house on that.
Yeah.
I would have to say Knocking on Heaven's Door, like he did it in France, in Paris. He goes, I sing one, you sing one. And knock, knock, knocking on. And then the crowd would do that. And it was like, it was a beautiful synchronized way of doing it. And he did not, it was almost like he was still timid of the crowd. He did not open up to the crowd at all. He did not talk to the crowd. He brought up something really goofy at one point where he had a girl here, and she mentioned something about a meat locker, and then he hung up on the phone, and that was it. He did not really. I think the crowd, GNR fans, were wanting to hear something about the past, something where there was no music. He grabbed the mic and just. Kind of say something, lay some peace on the line, and just everyone just go crazy. And
when he said it's story time, I thought for sure that they were going to bring up the riot. But,
thank you.
But they didn't, and, you know, it just went on from there. But I got to say, one of the highlights for me, though, was the Chris Cornell tribute doing Black Hole Sun. I mean, a brilliant version of that song. It's honestly, I honestly believe that Axl's probably the only guy who could really do that song justice, you know, since Chris is gone now.
Their arrangement or very, what would you say, Brian, faithful cover
of it? Yes, faithful cover of the song.
So was,
they played it pretty straight. They didn't try to do anything super fancy.
Because that's the second show I was at a U2 show earlier in May just after it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And U2 didn't even attempt, you know, to play something.
Yeah.
They played it as one of the last songs before they walked out, you know, or come on stage, rather.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the crowd was singing the song, you know, but that's, you know, just stadium of people singing a song, which was a great thing. But they didn't even attempt it. I mean, GNR pulled it off and pulled it off in a really, really, man, what would you say? It was a great tribute.
Yes.
Great just a great tribute. How about this role, though? Because I'm a huge Stones fan, and I always say when the Stones turn the stretch and head for home, it's hard to beat them. But when you come out of Slash and that guitar solo, which he's playing that Godfather,
mm-hmm.
and you can feel it coming, and he just blends that Jono right into Sweet Child of Mine.
Sure. Yeah, that was
that's
a great transition.
And here's one that Jono and I were begging for, and we got it. Sweet Child of Mine into Used to Love Her. And now that's where I heard the crowd, at least the crowd around me, was singing. All the guys seemed to know the lyrics.
Yeah. It seemed like we just wanted to be involved in one song, man. I mean, the girls got that Meatloaf song. That song to us was our national anthem song.
So I actually had a great time because I got to meander around the venue.
Yeah, you are hardly to there listen to see.
Well, I wasn't really there by you, and not to mention I was like, well, you know, I can give them more room so they can spread out and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I got to go around to different places. Everything as far as the sound and lighting production and stuff was just amazing. And but this leads me to wrapping up the show here because I've got to do, you know, a rating system of some kind for practically everything that I do on this show. For me, I mean, I can easily say this is one of the best concerts that I've been to this year, and mm-hmm. I've seen, you know, a good handful of concerts so far. But the year isn't over with yet, but I'll easily stick this into, you know, number two, number three, maybe, like as far as concerts this year for me. But what do you guys, how would you rate this?
What are we rating, out of 10?
Sure, out of 10. Like, you know, of the concerts that you've been to.
I'll start it off. We'll go this way. And I'm going to say this was a 10, and this could have been the best show I've ever seen.
In your life?
In my life. I've seen plenty of shows, and I've seen GNR before.
Yeah.
But I've never seen them this aggressive. And this hungry to win back their fans.
Nice.
Yeah, I agree with Jono. On a 10 scale, Brian, I would give it a 10. And since June of last year, the Kansas City show I saw was very good. Saw him a month later in Orlando. It was even better. 1 year later in St. Louis, even better again.
Mm-hmm.
So that band right now, I think, can really lay claim. They are the world's heavyweight champs of the real rock and roll touring bands,
mm-hmm.
probably for the first time in their careers.
That is quite possible.
Because they never maybe got to that point in 92, 93, because it all fell apart right after that.
Jeez.
But right now, I mean, they can keep going stadiums around the world for as long as they want, putting on shows like they did in St. Louis. They're going to bring that two or three times a week to fans. Fans are going to keep showing. Because I thought this would be the last one I went to.
Mm-hmm.
I got to tell you, I'm looking at dates. I'm looking to go again in the fall for an arena show. I am. I just cannot get enough.
All right, Corey?
Don't have to explain it to me. I'm doing that tonight. I would also say 10 out of 10. For not knowing every song and thinking, oh my God, I gotta download this when I get home. Thinking about songs and the songs that I didn't know. Obviously, the songs I did know were, you know, I'm screaming at the top of my lungs. The sound was fantastic. Edward Jones, St. Louis, they got to work on that their own themselves. But as far as the show, just great graphics, great screens. You could see everything. You could hear them. They were so tight. Only problem I had is I don't like the order they do the set list in, because I think they could move a couple things around to smash some hits together that everyone would know. Yeah. And I thought Patience was the showstopper, because I don't know. I love that song. I just have always loved that song since I was a kid. But easily top five shows I've ever seen in my life.
All right.
No, hands down.
I got for my rating, I will definitely give this one a solid 10, because it just was an extremely well put together show. I thought the band was phenomenal. Axl sang great. Everything around it was just extremely well put together and well produced event. And I'd probably, like I said, in my top five concerts this year, I'm easily putting it, number two, at least, for
who have you seen better this year?
Yeah, who's better?
Oh, man, I've been to a couple of small shows, though, that, I was really invested in.
Come on.
Okay, he's been to Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats, yeah, which, as a small show, is a kick-ass show, but you can't really compare it to a GNR Stadium show.
It's not really a comparison. It's just that for my own personal taste, and I trust me, I get a lot of flack for this kind of stuff, even on my own show. But, it is what it is. So, once again, thank you guys for helping me out with this.
Oh, thank you, man.
John O'Kabenjian, Tony Hubert, Corey Smith, you guys were fantastic. And remember, folks, if you hear it, follow the sound.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.